The following podcast contains real reviews and the ridiculous reactions of two would-be oracles of the internet. The opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Seriously.
Ho, 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 and welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Brent.
I'm Matt.
And this week, as is tradition around Christmas, we are joined by the voice of ReviewParty.com, Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello. I am Chris, the man for whom Christmas is named for. May not be true.
Yeah, it's... Man, it's not getting any cheaper getting you on the podcast every year with your all your...
A lot of commitments this time of year.
Exactly. You think the old man in the sleigh has got it bad.
Last year, I lobbied my wife to start referring to my birthday as Mas Chris Para Uno Año. She is not on board.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, not just your wife anymore, but your baby mama. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's right. I got a little one on board. Her voice acting right now is... mostly like snorts and coughs and cries. So I think she's still probably got like another 2 months before she's on the podcast.
I mean, that's about what me and Matt do every week. I just am pretty good in the edit room. Matt, on this Christmas episode, what are we going to be doing? What do we do on this here podcast?
Typically, generally, hypothetically speaking, we look at internet reviews from places like Yelp, Google, Amazon, TripAdvisor, Kmart.com primarily, sometimes Kohl's and Target, where humanity reveals its sick, soft, white underbelly. And we poke that underbelly and tickle it sometimes.
And hopefully comedy comes out. I don't know. It's been up for debate lately, I feel like.
Yeah.
Or just fuel for rage.
You guys are right at home on the internet then.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what we're trying to go for. The algorithms are just serving, you know, clickbait rage. So we're trying to shift into that sort of realm and territory.
That's good, because I have a lot of thoughts about the Middle East and reviews about them that I'd like to share today.
Wouldn't that be a wild episode, politically charged review showcase? I would actually hate that.
Where do I go to review political events, though? What's the forum where I'm like, oh man, 0 out of 5 stars for the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? It's really played out at this point.
Sadly, everywhere. Last week we had a review of Lake Michigan, like the whole thing. So
too wet.
You never know.
There's always a Google page for sort of a geographical location you can probably espouse some anger at. I don't know. Maybe there was like a Ticketmaster like Bernie Sanders event you could really rip off on. But anyway, it's Christmas. Does anyone have a particularly Christmassy review to start us?
I can hit you guys with a Christmas movie review.
Please.
Like this is for the 2019 Netflix original, The Night Before Christmas, or as I like to call it, The Knight Before Christmas.
It's Netflix, but it's Hallmark, but
exactly.
It's Netflix.
Yeah. So this is starring Vanessa Hudgens and some guy. He is a medieval English knight magically transported to present day America, where he falls for a high school science teacher who is disillusioned by love.
Okay. That I was going to be very afraid by high school science teacher.
Gentlemen, I have a confession to make. I have seen this movie. I've witnessed it with my eyes. I've sat down and experienced it.
I don't feel bad. I was looking up these reviews while me and my wife were watching it. So I'm right there with you.
I'm not alone in having experienced this. And the reviewer.
This is a short but sweet review from Matthew's Silver Hammer on IMDb. Matthew's Silver Hammer gives... A Night Before Christmas, 2 out of 10 stars. So bad, .. It's bad. Vanessa Hudgens is so thirsty, she'll let a dangerously insane homeless man live with her if it means she might get laid. Half a star upgrade for Before Christmas, though, which is pure poetic genius. That's all Matt's got to say. And Matt, I brought this up because I wanted to know if you had any other thoughts to back up your review, or if you still feel it speaks for itself.
Yeah, as you know, I am the owner of Matthew's Silver Hammer. Bang, bang. There is just a certain weird state of mind that people in Christmas movies lock themselves into. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're almost, what is it, magical realism by nature.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like intro to magical realism for, like, poorly read Americans.
Just every single time. You're going to come downtown for the big Christmas tree fest. Got to try the hot cocoa or the cider because we got to decide which is the town drink for this year. Do they really do that? Oh, what script writers are like, oh, man, this is some good stuff.
I'm sure this is a well-trodden sort of bit, but if I lived in the Hallmark Christmas town, the movie would be a Grinch knockoff, and I would be that guy. I would be the Grinch. I wouldn't be putting up with that kind of stuff. I don't care about Aunt Nessie's hot cocoa recipe that only comes out. I don't give a shit, bro. I'll get some name.
You don't
brand.
Want to save the lodge, save the farm, save the bed and breakfast.
I got my own shit to worry about.
My father-in-law and I, whenever we're watching these with my wife and mother-in-law, you know, there's always like a hint of playful mystery in any self-respecting Hallmark Christmas movie. And we always try to guess what's going to happen, but
what's that twist?
Typically, our guesses tend to be heavily influenced by like SVU and True Detective, which personally, I think there's a hell of a market for a whole, you know, knockoff like Hallmark After Dark, where it's like, ah, oh, this is like Santa's drug mule or something. And, you know, there's something out there. If you're a movie producer and you're listening to this, please send me money and then make those movies.
Yeah, instead of the regular misunderstanding where someone left their laptop open and someone else saw an email and they needed to explain, how about drugs or like they have a scar where their kidney should be.
What if in the Santa Claus, instead of Tim Allen, like, oops, Santa fell off the roof, Tim Allen just like murdered him in his house because he thought he was a home invader. The whole rest of the thing is him pretending to be Santa, not because the magic of Christmas, but because like he's trying to cover up his crime.
Oh, that's his alibi.
Right. I couldn't have killed him. I was in like Djibouti delivering presents at that time.
Wouldn't it be a great scene? Just like Santa in a workshop, a dimly lit workshop, just the one light on the elf tied to the chair. The elf sort of knows something and Santa's just, you won't tell anyone about beating the shit out of him with like Tinker Toys and stuff.
I just had the image of you're at Santa's factory and it's like mid-June and they're just like packing cocaine. Because like, well, we don't start toy production until mid-September, guys. Like, no toys before Labor Day. Santa's the big red man has been very clear about this.
Here's the intro to the movie. All right. We come in, it's just a shot of a reindeer on an autopsy table. Nose covered in blood.
I'm sold.
They you know, it's got the little tag on the ear. They says his name, they flip it up. Rudolph, huh? What got your nose so bright? They start sawing him open. His antlers are all filled, lined with cocaine.
somebody says, like, but Jim, there's no snow in Minnesota in July. That's not snow, bud.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely got to be a cocaine snowball fight. I think that would really... That would be a nice emotional piece to bring it all together.
There'd be a nice, like, there'd have to be a cameo from Pablo Escobar's hippos at some point. And which would be good, too, because all of the Christmas movies take place in, like, New England or the Chicago suburbs. So we could finally get some, you know, non-North American representation.
Yeah, I really think there needs to be more, like, Las Vegas, California Mexico Christmas movies, you know?
There aren't too many.
I do appreciate how many name-dropped, like, Chicago suburbs there are in Christmas movies sometimes.
Yes.
It's true. Like, I know that place. It makes me feel good.
There is. I know everyone out there is saying, but there is a Bruce Campbell Christmas movie, like Christmas on the Bayou.
Love it.
Which, obviously, is on the Bayou.
Does this feature Bruce Campbell doing a Cajun accent? Because that's going to go right to the top of the watch
list. It does. Yes. Oh. And it's not bad.
What a guy.
All horrible Christmas movies considered that I've seen these past handful of years, it's not the worst.
Love it.
Looking at this knight's haircut, though, from Night Before Christmas, to bring him back.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do him dirty like that. He literally looks like a medieval peasant with that mop on his head.
He's so peasant-like. And I did want to touch on, before we moved on, the homelessness factor. The first, like, two acts of the movie are just, like, this guy traveled from a different – and she's basically, like, keeping a dog man – who doesn't know basic manners in her home, and he's making a mess, and that's the whole movie. I can't imagine a more uncomfortable situation for me.
He's also very... Now, I'm a bit of a history nerd. He's very knightly in the classical sense, but they put him as coming from a very specifically unknightly era. He's like an Arthurian knight, but he's like 700 years too late. And it bothered the now like looming middle-aged father in me, who is just like, excuse me, but he was almost certainly a mercenary and he would not have been wearing that kind of armor. Thank you very much.
Hey, I'm glad there's dads out there like you, man.
It did look a bit crusadery to me.
To your comment about the hair, I think what... Literally their entire research about medieval knights was just looking at a couple of stills from A Knight's Tale. And then they just called it good. Like, all right, yep, we got a guy who looks like vaguely like a Kirkland brand Heath Ledger. Let's roll.
He is such a Kirkland Heath Ledger. With that UFC fighter, that Scottish or Irish UFC fighter who's got the peasant mop top, he's got that haircut. Forget that dude's name, he's pretty funny though. I got a quick review here. Very, very Christmas season-y. I wanted something that was close to my heart in the Christmas season, maybe slightly unique to my Christmas experience, but I'm sure many people have had. From Amazon, we got the Flexible Flyer Lightning Snow Sled. These are the plastic, long plastic pieces of crap that you're going to shoot down that Pizza Hut hill with, or whatever your local gathering spot for sledding and breaking plastic things with your friends is. Let's talk about Estefany's experience with these lightning flyers. She titles her review "Goodbye." She writes, "Very sturdy. My kids are pretty chubby, and the two of them rode it together without breaking. Very, very happy with the purchase. I have sleds for a good while now. 5 stars."
Stephanie, no.
Just hold nothing back. Jeez.
She is talking in quite plain terms about the weight problem her children has, yes.
That is valuable information for those of us who have chubby children ourselves, or maybe chubby our own selves. Mm-hmm. I need to know.
I'm a chubby man, and I for most of my childhood, I was a chubby child, but there's sleds were never something I had to worry about getting sort of weight checked, so to speak, off of.
I was hanging out with a friend who's got a young lad of his own last winter, and we had like the little saucer sled for that kid who weighed, what, like maybe 30 or 40 pounds? And I, a like 230-pound grown man, had no problem going down the hill on it. How chubby are these kids? They're both running like 180.
They're what you might call roly-poly little kids.
They're less kids than they are Pablo Escobar's hippopotamuses.
See, when I come from up in the North Woods, I only remember, like, we want more weight on the sled. Yeah, go down, you know, in tandem with Dad, because that's gonna, you're gonna get so much weight, you're gonna get clipping down that hill. You know, these, what she doesn't know, and maybe what hurts me the most, is she doesn't know that these chubby children are built for snow sled speed. You know, this is a time where they should feel good about the extra weight that they're bringing to the table. Because right. You don't get that in modern society too often.
They've been working on it all year. Most kids have to bring like a kettlebell with them when they sled. And that's dangerous, right? It's kettlebells bouncing around. So these kids, they're ready to go.
Yeah, you either need a kettlebell or, you know, that one kid with a really big head. That's sort of the same effect.
Everybody just passes him around. Everybody gets one ride.
Come on, Johnny.
That kid's head's got to be 15 pounds alone. The way he can throw it around, you can really get some nice drifts going.
Oh, man. Yeah, we need some actual snow to fall on these lands here, so I can see those body of athlete children hiking up the hills, little round boys and girls. That helps them when they crash too. They just sort of scatter like marbles.
I was gonna ask if you guys have any good sledding memories from your kid, but instead of just putting you on the spot and waiting for you to make content for me, while you think about that, I'll tell my story. One of the, I guess, City Hill Park. I forget what the hill is called or that part of the park, but it's by City Hall. It's kind of the city park. What was interesting about sledding there is there's like three hills, right? There's sort of a black diamond situation on one of the hills where one hill was very small. The other hill I would think of as sort of a normal, good, even big sledding hill for being in the middle of a little suburb. But the Black Diamond course, it was just a super tall hill, and it had like a dirt path, like walked, sort of climbed out of it from people climbing it in the summer and, you know, digging there. So there was this trench, this like bumpy dirt trench going down this wicked steep hill. And literally, you'd climb up the back because it was sort of the smaller hills are connected, and you'd look down, and there's just like debris of dead chipped sleds, like sleds hit this and just turned into atoms and their corpses were left. So I don't really have any specific story, I guess, about that, just the fond memory of that evil hill. And you know, there's no snow on the path, it was just like frozen dirt bumps. Ooh. That you'd have to fly down. Yeah. Totally unpleasant, but the adrenaline. Nothing gets a fifth grader's adrenaline going like that.
We have a similar, and Matt will know what I'm talking about here, because in this statement, which will make me sound like I'm like Mark Twain or something, but Matt and I grew up on the same river. and being from Illinois, what I believe is the flattest state in the Union, sled hills are not, you know, they're not plentiful, but what we do have a lot of sled hills along the Fox River because there's a nice little river valley. But the consequence of that is that virtually every sled hill I ever encountered as a child went down a steep hill directly into a frozen river. Or in the case where they had used the flat bottom of the valley to lay out the highway systems, it was a steep hill that went directly into a highway and then like 6 feet on the other side of the highway directly into a frozen river. And we survived. Again, I don't have any specific stories, but I do remember always sitting at the top of the hill thinking, this could be the last one. And it never was. I
imagine your kid imagination sort of runs wild as well, and you picture yourself like sort of perfectly penetrating the ice and shooting to the bottom and just like a torpedo.
Like bouncing, and you're like, oh, maybe I could, like, if I'm light enough and I hit at the right angle, I could get all the way to the other side of the river. Just like nature's half pipe.
Yeah, see that you had that kid optimism. I was a dark, sad, scared kid. I was like, oh man, I'm gonna hit this and go to the bottom, and I'm gonna get frozen in a solid cartoon ice cube,
a perfect cube.
Right, Matt, hit me with your sled thoughts.
Around me, we actually do have some hills. There's the Norgi ski jump.
Yeah, have you ever taken a sled off again, the ski on the jump, river, like one of those saucer sleds?
I have not gone off the ski jump. And on the opposite side, there is a big hill. Gone down that and rattled my guts a few times. But just the woods around my house is fairly hilly. And there are some natural springs as well that pop up here and there. So in the winter, they only kind of freeze because the water is bubbling up from underground. And one just happened to be right at the bottom of this sick hill. So we would put a sandbag down there and sort of make a little ramp out of it. But the effect of that was just you'd launch and then sort of plop right in the middle of like swampy natural spring muck. And you're just sort of like looking on either side of the sled back and forth. Where am I going to step that my boot isn't going to sink into the sledge? And inevitably, yeah, your boot came off and you got an exposed sock and snow and muck. It was fantastic.
I always love the little kid logic. Like, I'm going to build a ramp and I'm going to jump clean over that. And then you realize you're going like 12 miles per hour. So you kind of just like get like a foot of air and then a straight vertical drop down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like every time you go, you know, you got the buddies that live out in the county, out in the sticks, whatever you colloquially call it, where you are. And you know, they always are bragging all week at school about this sweet jump they got set up. And you go to their house all excited. Maybe there's like a sledding party happening. And I'm not going off. I got to see you go off that shit before I go it. And 9 times out of 10, that was nothing. They were nothing but tailbone busters, man. Just absolute like jackass murder machines.
That was the when I was out hanging out with my buddy and his little kid. We all took the sled. Well, not all of us took it over a jump. Several of us took it over a jump, and I think 100% of us regretted it. It's a lot of spine compression in your 30s. That's not really what you're looking for.
A lot of wind that you would like to stay in your lungs that just shoots out of there.
It's weird because you would think a thin plastic dome would provide ample cushioning.
But or a garbage can. That's really. But Matt, do you have a Christmassy review? We've been dwelling on these lovely so much.
Yeah, this is Christmassy enough for us people.
Holiday, I should say.
Nah, this is Christmassy.
Yeah, we're in the presence of Christmas, so yeah, it's hard to be inclusive.
This is an Amazon review for the Cute Snail Soap Dispenser for Kitchen, Bathroom, etc. 120 milliliters, brown. It is what looks like a plastic snail. Mm-hmm. You push down on the shell and your liquid soap kind of oozes out like snail snot.
Wait, what color is the snail? Oh, brown. Okay. Brown. Got it. Thank you.
Brown.
Oh, they got a little penguin version. They got a black and a white snail too. Or you can get all three. This is a review from Valkyrie, who titles it Best Thing Ever. And they write, I bought this for a bad Santa / white elephant gift exchange and paired it with an enormous bottle of the bluish clear Dial soap. When I tell you the shot of dopamine I got from hearing my grandmother's dismay at ending up with this gift was amazing. Everyone hated it and it was hilarious. My mom took it home and Snelly the snail is in the mudroom to this day. He works well, is super cute, 10 out of 10 shells, 5 stars.
There's a common complaint for the video gamers out there that there's no... that you have to give like a positive or like negative in Steam reviews. People don't like that you can give both. And I feel like this Amazon needs like a 2-axis, like much hated, perfectly achieved the goal option.
Right.
Right, where the badness is the appeal. You came, you saw, you conquered for the shittiness of this product.
Right,
it's
right.
Fulfilling exactly what you wanted, but you can't really say what you wanted was that 5-star experience.
It's not what you would equate with a regular 5-star.
Although, to be fair, it doesn't sound like it's non-functional.
No, it appears to work pretty well. Some people said it was a little light. Sometimes the little tube came out, but in simple parts, you can fix that sucker easy.
And 3 colors, so you can have your hand soap, your lotion, and your slime. All your bathroom essentials.
I want to use one as a gravy boat.
Ooh, I love that.
a little Christmas dinner, you know, that's an essential on the table. Oh, is Uncle Brent going to have the snail gravy this year? Of course.
What about you could
tradition?
You could distribute cranberry sauce through it.
Oh.
Just squeeze that out.
Snail's looking a little sick, man.
I always like when I start a bit and I, without the thought of where it could go, I unknowingly draw a line of where I'm comfortable with the grossness of the bit goes, you know, in my subconscious. And the next person, like I would do if we were doing a funny sort of gross out bit, takes it another level.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, as I'm laughing at the joke, I realize how uncomfortable I really am with this entire world of snails pushing out lumpy liquids. I don't know. A true Pandora's box situation, you know. I didn't know the repercussion.
Hey man, it's just nature. That's what squirrels are. Squirrels. That's not what squirrels do. That's what snails do.
It's like a Flintstones, right? They, for the soap dispenser, they just have a snail they'd squeeze. It's a living. Okay, I think we're gonna take a break here, folks. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. I'll see you in a minute.
Hey everybody, thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. ReviewParty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the second half of the episode, and welcome to a Precious Max. What is Precious Max, Matt? Thanks for asking, Johnny.
What the heck is that?
Precious Max is the segment where we max out on how many reviews of one single thing we can handle. I know you're thinking, that sounds like a steaming pile of reviews. That sounds like bare knuckle letterboxing. Well, listen, little kid. those are site specific. This is for whatever site we want. So I have some IMDb reviews for a movie titled Rare Exports. Are either of you familiar with this film?
I don't think so.
The movie where they like thaw out Santa in Finland and he's evil?
This is. Yes. And I quote, in the depths of the Korvanturi Mountains, 486 meters deep, lies the closest ever guarded secret of Christmas. The time has come to dig it up. This Christmas, everyone will believe in Santa Claus. Yeah, it is really good. I recommend it. Christmas Eve in Finland. It's in Finnish, but hey, subtitles are no one's stranger, hopefully. I started out looking at like White Christmas and Holiday Inn bad reviews because I thought maybe these are classic movies that people would be strange to hate. But all the Holiday Inn bad reviews are like, blackface sucks. I'm like, well, I know. I don't need to read your review to know blackface is no good even in a movie from 1942. But I thought maybe I should look at more modern movies to get actual real opinions. So that's how we got to Rare Exports. So I've got 3 1-star reviews. This one comes to us from Julius Augustus. They titled their review, "What Did I Just Saw?" And they write, they may be not an English speaker by birth. They write, "I understand the black idea about Christmas. Sad stuff. But this movie does not make sense at all. Stuff are happening without any logic at all. The main kid has an adult thinking now, and next second is the village idiot. Bipolar actions. Last 30% of movie contains lots of naked old men. For what? Nothing is explained there. Nothing is made to make sense. The numbers of positive reviews made me watch the full movie, but I really don't understand how somebody could classify this nonsense above 2. Either is full cast of old men voting here, or the north part of Europe has a strange way to think and they consider it funny or something. For the rest of Europe, don't bother. Wasted time that I want back. 1 star.
I'm kind of worried about how uncomfortable he is with the male form, I think, from all of that. There would have to be a lot of excessive male nudity for me to comment on it in a review. You know what I mean? I would have to really be, in many senses of the word, assaulted with nudity to be like, that was a little strange, you know? And I'm guessing, maybe you can correct me, that the male nudity wasn't that crazy.
It's not that bad. Chris, have you seen it or are you just
familiar
with it?
I've never seen it.
Okay. I won't spoil too much, but...
There's spoilers attached to the male nudity, so it's so plot relevant.
You already know that Santa is the thing that's buried and frozen, but there are other... one of the reviews might state this. There are other Santa-like figures. Turns out they're his elves or something like that, but they're naked. But it's Finland. Everything is very dimly lit. You don't see a whole lot other than this is a naked old man
right.
in the dark.
Classic Wolverine coming out of the Weapon X naked with just the most conveniently placed thigh shadows
yeah.
of all time.
My recent experience with that is I was watching the original Dragon Ball series on Crunchyroll. And boy, is there a lot of little kid Goku dick in that original series.
It's so funny to me, the two curve penis, where it's just the one half circle for the ball sack and the one longer half circle for the little wiener. It's so like, oh yeah, to censor the nudity, we're not really censoring it. We're just going to draw it like a Peanuts cartoon right. So you don't really look at it.
It is the sad trombone noise of nudity.
I guess it'd be less weird if Kid Goku was hanging some serious dong.
If he was drawn completely normal, but then just had a photorealistic penis. Like, oh, ew.
Merry
an
Christmas.
Interesting artistic choice. Here is a review from Kath Mummy Bear titled "Not a Horror." They write, it's C-A-R-N-T, so I'll say it like that. "I really can't understand why people are rating this so highly. There's a thin story with no horror, unless you find naked old men particularly scary. As for comedy, there is none, unless you find naked old men funny." 2 stars.
These people are making it sound like this. They got linked to lemonparty.org or some shit. Like they just they put in the DVD and fucking Meatspin was on their TV or something.
Maybe I should just jump to this last review.
I gotta stop watching movies on E-Bombs World.
Here is a review from Elkady titled "Vomit Rising in Throat." They write, "This whole movie was thoroughly disturbing. I can withstand the storyline to a point, right up until they show one of, quote, Santa's elves. They are naked old men, and I mean full dong naked. Don't watch this Santa movie with your kids. This is not a children's movie. Maybe in Finland, it's normal for kids to see full-grown men naked. Everything up to that point was okay. No amazing special effects, just one CG moment when you see Santa in a huge frozen block of ice. He doesn't even get unfrozen to interact with the plot at all. Sorry about the spoilers. I tried to reveal as little as possible. Unlike the people who thought it was sensible to make a Santa movie with dozens of naked men in it, there's another classification for those kinds of movies. Gay porn. One star.
Man, bringing out the capital GP.
It is capital. Both of them.
This is a scorched earth
biblical phrase.
Review. Also, I want to. Can we revisit the first review where at the end of it he specified this is not appropriate for anybody in Europe? Yeah. He's geographically gating his reviews. Like, listen, I don't want to talk about the sensibilities of the Middle East. All right. Maybe they'd like this, but for Europe. The EU has deemed this not appropriate.
Isn't the EU sort of stereotypically infamous for like having racy TV by American standards?
I was going to say, I thought like Europeans were supposed to be like super cool with that stuff. Sounds like the Finns are.
There's like some Swedish children's show where the man has an extra long penis or something, and it's like a Go-Go Gadget penis.
Yeah, that's Dragon Ball. Thinking of Goku.
Unlike a decent, God-fearing country like America, Denmark, where all we show is brutal murder on network television. Come on, get your act together.
Yeah, those German freaks are putting a titty on TV after 9 p.m. What the fuck? What if my child?
Honestly, if you didn't say anything about Santa, like that, all of those reviews are basically just reviews for my gym locker room. Like,
nothing like an old hairy man sort of like thrusting his crotch towards the air dryer to get a nice blow his pubes all over his pube particles all over my space.
I remember, I think the first time I felt like I was like, oh yeah, I'm turning into an old man now, is when I realized that I love a good like steam room sauna. And just sitting there with a bunch of like naked Mediterranean dudes just talking about, you know, small business. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my element. It's hazy enough. I don't see any detail about everybody, but we all know the score in here.
Right. That level of comfort is nice. It's something to be said about going to a Japanese onsen, and yeah, you gotta be naked. You know, you gotta. There's some taboo parts of yourself that you're gonna get over here, and at the end of the day, you're gonna feel better. But is that all we got for this naked this smut that you brought?
Yeah. I've only brought three, and I. This isn't for anybody other than us. That's the Danish penis show. He like uses it as a helicopter. Anyway, I want to watch that show.
Yeah.
I'll get some reviews soon.
I have to get this review off my chest. I saved it because it's only Christmas in name. But last episode, I have to apologize. You know, we're not particularly PC here on Review Party. We don't apologize for anything that we do. On this show, we tell it like it is. We do real comedy. But I do have to apologize. Last week was our 182nd episode, and with a heavy heart towards the Blink-182 community, I did not bring a Blink-182 review, and I feel terrible about it. It's been racking my conscience. So here I have the Blink-182 from Amazon, the Blink-182 Christmas box set. I hope a week late isn't that bad. You know, I'm sorry, Mark Hoppus. We have one. This review is from some Blink fan. The some is spelled like some 41. Some pretty
nice.
Pretty cool. I don't know why this is called the Christmas box set. Maybe they released it on Christmas. I'm pretty sure none of it has anything to do with Christmas. But this review is titled The Urethra Chronicles Volume 2 Great Buy. They write, The Urethra Chronicles Volume 2 is a great investment for the biggest of Blink-182 fans that may know everything about Mark, Tom, and Travis. To the fans that may be trying to learn more about them, this DVD includes in-depth interviews with Mark, Tom, and Travis, the making of The Rock Show, First Date, and Stay Together for the Kids music videos. It also includes behind-the-scenes footage of Blink-182 tour life, what goes on backstage and while in the recording studio, and so much more. My favorite part of the DVD is right before the credits when Mark, Tom, and Travis talk about their friendship in the band to what went wrong. Honestly, I would buy this DVD even if it was the only, if that was the only part it had on it. This DVD does have a parental advisory warning on it, but it's mainly for the language in their songs. The Urethra Chronicles 3 Volume 2 equals great by 5 stars.
I would call myself a casual Blink-182 fan.
I don't think anyone of our generation cannot say that.
Yeah. But how much does this cost?
This is currently listed, it looks like it was meant to be listed at $39.99, but this bad boy right here is currently listed at $66.06. You could pay $16.52 every week for 4 weeks.
When you put it that way, how can I say no?
It really stuck me because, yeah, both the juxtaposition between, like, hey, this is parental advisory for the language, it's the Urethra Chronicles, and also, yeah, the strange relationship this person has with their band, their favorite band, and the one that they're sort of, I feel like they're projecting it onto other people that like their music, like, this is the way you should enjoy the Christmas Chronicles.
It's like proactive gatekeeping. Like, gatekeeping isn't good enough for me. I'm not just going to sit on forums and, like, bitch you out if you don't like Aliens Exist. No, I'm coming after you. Also, I want to point out, when you were reading that review, my audio's cut out for 1 second, so I thought the whole review was, The Urethra Chronicles are a must-have for any Blink fan. Period. End of review. I was like, that. There you go. Yes, you've sold me.
I mean, what more needs to be said? Who isn't a big Blink fan? And who doesn't think the word urethra is really funny? But do we have any, either you have a Christmas review you want to see before we settle, before we ride Rudolph to some cocaine here?
I do. I have a pair of reviews.
Let's get it.
Fire them off.
This is, you know what? I'm going to let you guys see if you can guess what this is.
Oh,
I'm
going to
give you two reviews, and I'm not going to tell you who they're by. We'll see if you can figure it out. Review number one, 1 out of 5 stars. This is an Amazon product. Really narrows it down. Another stupid movie trying to cash in on the awful trend of using a personal name to represent all kinds of bad behavior. And to try to shut women up even when they have a legitimate complaint. Can't Hollywood do better than this? Idea number two, or review number two. Huh. Also, 1 out of 5 stars. Titled, Another Person Making Money Off a Name. Yet another example of companies profiting at the expense of millions of people. It isn't a joke to people named blank that are now ashamed of the name given to them by their parents. This will only perpetuate the continued verbal, psychological, and misogynistic abuse and continued bullying of people, adults, and children who have done nothing wrong.
I don't know what the movie's called, but I'm sure I know a word in the title because that is a familiar scent around these parts. That is my bloodhound ears and nose has been refined to these people who will see no acceptance or any of that such in these parts. Is Karen Is Karen the name they're talking
about? This is the esteemed motion picture, A Christmas Karen, featuring Michelle Sims, 4.9 out of 10 on IMDb and a 3.5 out of 5 on Amazon, rated G. The latter review was by Karen Beatty. The former review was by the mysterious K.
Oh, sorry, ladies.
There was so many of these reviews on this. All of the reviews on this were either like, the movie's not very good, or the movie's not very good, but we enjoyed it, or by people named Karen ranting about it being named A Christmas Karen.
I mean, unfortunate for them, right? But it's there. I don't know how they don't understand that them leaving these reviews about how this movie sucks because they use their name and they can't use it anymore is the most Karen move there is.
Right? It's like, you need some self-awareness. And honestly, like, not that, you know, the name Chris is, you know, maligned in the same way that Karen is, but I've said this to many people when they complain about their name. Like, as a Chris with a brother Mike, we are legion. There are countless Chris's and Mike's out there, and you kind of just learn to deal with it, right? You get over it.
Yeah, I can understand having some weird feelings about your name and how people are using it. My name is Brent, and I grew up in the Brett Favre era in Packer land. I got called, what's your name? Oh, Brent. Oh, Brett, nice to meet you. You know, that kind of stuff is touchy. Your name is personal and important to you, but there's better ways to fight against that stereotype than like leaning into it.
Poopy pants.
That's my name.
I just loved Kay. I picture this, like, figure in a long overcoat, a low, wide-brimmed hat, short-cut, dyed blonde hair just peeking out from under the brim. And you just hear, I'm Kay, what can I help you with? What do you need complained about?
You think she sends, like, liaisons to do her returns because she just can't be put in those situations?
Or she's contract for hire. She's like a hitman for, like, angry, like, customer service complaints that, like, you want delivered, but you also have self-respect, so you're not going to do it in person.
For when you feel like it's justified that you need to go and yell at a retail employee just to get something done because there's no other way, you can call Kay, and she'll you know, she won't, your social anxiety will not flare up because she has no social cues or sympathy for anyone, and she will get that taken care of for you.
Honestly, speaking as a classically conflict averse millennial, you know, I'd keep that number on speed dial.
It is the one time on the phone in a customer service situation where I raised my voice, I did get immediate results. So it kind of, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You really are selling your soul to the devil for that type of stuff. But let's not end on a Karen note. Matt, did you have a review you want to send us off on?
Yeah, I got a quick one that is silly. As I mentioned, I went through some movie reviews for other movies, not just rare exports. So here is an IMDb review for White Christmas, the classic Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye. There's one guy who's just like, the boys aren't funny. The girls aren't beautiful. Rosemary Clooney looks like a man in a dress.
Kind of a based black and white way to see the world. If the boys ain't funny and the girls aren't beautiful, I don't want
to
go.
Honestly, it's kind of a 1950, an early 1950s way to see the world. So he's in the right headspace.
That's true. But the one I think I'm going to read is just perfectly askew. This is coming to us from Laney GB, titled Not a Christmas Movie. Laney GB writes, this is overall not a worst movie I've seen. The problem is that it is not a Christmas movie at all. I was so bored through the whole movie. I don't understand the whole classics thing, though. can't be a Christmas movie when it's not even a Christmas movie. They say the word Christmas roughly 5 times during the whole movie. I'm so disappointed. I do not recommend it all. 1 star.
Free your mind.
To be fair, she does pretty much validate her argument. You can't be something that you are not, right? That is...
wow.
You can't be a Christmas movie if you're not a Christmas movie. But it's a little bit of a circular
The movie
argument,
starts... There was another review that's like, it's only Christmas in the last 15 minutes. Brother, the movie starts at Christmas in World War II, and it ends with Christmas on the home front after the war.
Sounds like a very Christmassy movie.
You could argue it's not even named for Christmas. It's named for the song, which is That's quite true. Explicitly about a Christmas that is white.
Yeah. Yeah, I just... I don't know who'd be disappointed, like, man, that movie wasn't Christmassy enough.
There wasn't even one naked old man. The Finns hate it. Do you guys, I'll pose a question. You guys have any, like, famous Christmas movies that are, like, arguably not Christmas movies? The classic is always Die Hard, right? Is there any movies that stick out for you guys?
Yes.
I'm really big on Die Hard because I think even if you took any Christmas aesthetics that the parts of that movie have out of it, it's still a movie about a guy trying to get home to his family for Christmas. It's somewhat estranged. And even if it's not explicitly Christmas, that spirit running through it is what makes it a Christmas movie.
Ooh, spirit. That makes it Christmassy. my choice is the 1985 John Cusack film Better Off Dead, in which he plays like a weirder, nerdier version of himself from Say Anything. And it's got the guy who plays Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. It's great. Highly recommend it.
I was going to go with a similar 80s theme, the Joe Dante classic Gremlins, which upon watching it, that's like the opposite of Die Hard. It's a movie that very explicitly takes place during Christmas and doesn't have anything to do with it.
You guys don't microwave a small creature every morning on every Christmas morning?
Well, okay, aside from that, though.
No cinnamon candles, no fresh fir tree. I prefer microwaved gremlin scent.
We got to like the final like 40 minutes of that. My wife fell asleep and she's like, what did I miss? And I was like, nothing Christmas, just 40 minutes of vignettes of gremlins doing silly things.
That movie really is a series of newspaper comics, isn't it? Just sort of quick four-panel gags.
Oh, it's so true.
Since we went Christmas movie crazy and I have one review left, I'm going to quickly just, before the plugs, get my Christmas movie review off my chest so it's not sitting on me all year. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation from Amazon by Daniel B. here. They title it OMG, and they write, after hearing for 30 years how uproariously funny this movie is, I finally bought it and watched it, and I admit, I did laugh out loud a few times. All told, I probably spent nearly a full minute in laughter, primarily at Chase's antics on the roof in the first part of the movie. Unfortunately, though, this flick is 90 minutes long, and I spent the other 89 minutes wondering when it was going to get better, and marveling over the fact that this turkey is considered to be a classic in the eyes of so many people. This is in the running for worst movie not named Magnolia that I've ever seen. 1 star.
Whoa. We're throwing punches left and right.
Do you think that's the first and only time anybody's ever compared National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Magnolia?
Yeah, I'm a big believer in the monkey with a keyboard theory, you know, that everything that's ever been said has already been said, more or less. But no, I think this is definitely the first time that has happened. I hope so.
When I review things, I'm like, oh, yeah. If you like Indiana Jones, then yeah, you'll absolutely love Parasite. They're just both movies I like. So based on that.
Right. I kind of think that way too. Well, if I like something, then, and you like something, then you got like everything I like. How could we couldn't be friends otherwise?
Checks out. Yeah, that's what friends do, right? They have all the same interests.
Yep. And if you, I hate something, you have to hate it too. So, sorry to all my friends. You have to give up ketchup, or you're not my friend anymore.
Oh, man, right there with you.
Excellent. I think we got to end this freaking Christmas episode.
Let's do it.
Big thanks to Chris for being here. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for having me. You know, merry holidays, happy Christmas, all the good cheers to everyone, you guys included. Yeah,
definitely. I'm sure I'm supposed to say some good banter back to that, but I'm just going to start the plugs. Do you have a plug? Do you have any plugs you'd like to give before we get started on our spiel?
I do not have plugs. I am a new father, so I don't have hobbies anymore. Go find things that you like and do them, everyone.
I love that advice. And you know what you could like doing is listening to ReviewParty.com. That's right. New episodes every Tuesday. Hashtag Tuesday Reviews Day. If you want to send in a funny review for us to talk about, especially if it's about like naked men and stuff, we'd really like that. send it to ReviewParty.com@gmail.com and include your name. And we'd love to throw you credit for it. Matt, tell me.
If you want to reach out to us and interact with us on social media, at ReviewParty.com is where we are on Instagram and TikTok, at ReviewPartyPod on Twitter, that's what I'm calling it. We're on Letterboxd, just search ReviewParty, and we've got a website with so much on it, ReviewParty.com.com, episodes, blog, blue, fun. There's hidden things. I could tell you all the hidden things, but then you wouldn't get the sense of discovery when you find it. But go find it.
Know what else you can find? The Nosebleeds. I'm sure they're having a merry little Christmas, little holiday season. I hope they are. They let us use their song Bread for Breakfast for our theme song. You've heard it throughout the episode. It's really good. Go listen to it. Okay, boys. I'm going to end this Christmas with one final quick review to send us off. I forgot about it already. But boy, am I glad to be here. From Amazon, we got the Blue Sea Turtle Beach Ocean Coastal Resin Christmas Tree Hanging Ornament Decoration Decor. It's a little, I guess, resin turtle with some Christmas hat and Christmas presents on his back. Very cute. By December Pets. Melissa Baucom titles her review, Wonderful Ornament. They write, I bought me one, then when I got it, I turned around and bought another as a gift, 5 stars.
I can picture turning around.